Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Stick to football. We are chilling outside of Stanford Stadium, a beautiful tailgate. Thanks to the tailgate guys. We have a lot of draft on draft questions. We're going to have actually our college football editor for Bleacher Report, Paige Kuhn, is going to hop on with this. It'll be a great chat with Paige, who still claiming that she's the Joe Burrow fan club president. So we're going to duke it out today about this.
Yeah, she's kind of a big deal with the Bleacher Report Network. Everybody on Twitter, probably one of the most popular guests we've had on.
Listen, it's going to be fun. It's beautiful out here. Definitely the nicest weather we've had on the tailgate tour. After the 100 degrees in Austin or the freezing in Alabama, I think we're doing pretty well out here today.
Probably the best time zone we've been in. You wake up here and you watch football.
Unbeatable.
You don't have to worry about, oh man, I have to stay up late to watch Arizona play. I get to watch them at like 7 o'clock for kickoff because I watch all the Arizona games. Love them.
I will say, like, we were talking about this morning as we were looking for allergy medicine because I am struggling this morning. That and other
that
things.
That is one
you
eye.
Are the president he looks of the struggle bus today.
I am. Oh my God. I'm like, I probably look exceptionally hungover and it's amazing that I'm not, but like, it's just allergy season. But we were talking about it this morning. I still think the mountain time zone is best, but Pacific time is pretty great.
It is. But we haven't done mountain time yet. So once we get over there, I think I'll have a more accurate opinion on what they do. But I mean, I woke up this morning at 7 a.m. Game day was already like full effect. I'm taking a shower, can hear it. You roll in here, we start tailgating, and the games kick off at 9 a.m.
That is nice.
It's great. You don't have to wait.
Well, let's get right into football because something big did happen in between now and the Friday show, and that is Grant Calcaterra retires. And kind of felt like for us, this came out of nowhere. He's retiring due to concussions. This is a pretty big deal because this is a player that, if you've been listening to us since the summer, was in our previews for the draft and has been a really, really good player for Oklahoma. And I think this is a little surprising and, of course, obviously a little disappointing, even though he understandably has to do what's best for him.
I totally understand and wish him nothing but the best. He's a dude that we had talked about previously of, like, he's an undersized tight end. You know, he's like 220 pounds. And you noticed, you know, throughout the year, like, where is he? Like, he's not making plays for Oklahoma. Their offense has really revolved around CeeDee Lamb in the run game. And you hate to hear that, like, a guy has to retire because of concussions, but good for him to make this decision in college instead of going to the NFL and susceptibling yourself to bigger, harder, more hits. So, you know, you wish the dude the best. From a draft perspective, it does suck to lose a valuable slot tight end type player that I liked a lot headed into this year, but totally understandable.
Yeah, I mean, I saw his tweet and I thought he was announcing that he was coming out in the draft. So pretty shocking to see him retire, but obviously these guys got to look out for themselves and do what's best for them. Hopefully he can find success in another avenue other than football.
Yeah, he'll probably be coaching at Oklahoma soon.
And I think it adds to, this has been kind of a mysterious tight end class this year. If you've been listening to all the shows, you know we don't talk about the tight end class a lot. We're looking forward to seeing a lot of the guys that are going to be at the Senior Bowl to kind of distinguish this group. I know a lot of people had huge expectations for Albert O at Missouri, and I don't think he's lived up to those just yet. So right now, this tight end class is kind of the mystery group of the draft.
I think both of you guys have kind of solidified a number one tight end in the class, even though they're different, correct?
Yeah, mine's Bryson Hopkins at Purdue. I really like him. I think he brings an all-around game. And none of these guys are T.J. Hockenson or Noah Fant. Like, we're not talking about that level of tight end prospect, but good players nonetheless. And I think if Hopkins is there, wherever the Patriots pick, probably at 32, then I think he's a player they have to consider. They should have drafted one last year. They should have listened to us. And N'Keal Harry's been hurt, so that's a big part of that. But and then yours is Hunter Bryant, right?
Yeah, exactly, from Washington. And you know, obviously a little bit of a bias because I got to see him in person this year. An Evan Engram-type athlete and same body type at the position, so he's not a guy that's going to live in line and be asked to block, even though he can a little bit. He's kind of a mismatch weapon, a move tight end that can live in the slot and really fit into a lot of passing attacks right now. But it, once again, if you're looking for that inline guy, I haven't really confirmed who the top one is, but Hunter Bryant can be a difference maker.
Yeah, and speaking of difference makers, we are at almost halftime of the, or it is halftime now, the Ohio State Penn State game as we're standing here recording today. Chase Young, I think, announced his return to college football in a big way, 2 sacks in the first quarter, and was just unstoppable to the point that Penn State actually started doubling him.
Which they should have from the get-go.
It's amazing they didn't from the first play, but yeah, they're legitimately putting a double team on him. Chase Young, and I tweeted this, I know you guys agree, I think he's the best player in college football. He's by far the best draft prospect for 2020. I think that he should win the Heisman Trophy. And if I'm a Cincinnati Bengals, and you guys know I love Joe Burrow, if I'm a Cincinnati Bengals, I'm going to draft Chase Young.
Ooh, hot take.
You should. I mean,
I'm with you.
I like Joe Burrow a lot. He's my number two player. Uh-huh. If you're the Bengals, you should draft Chase Young. Because how often do guys like that come around? And no disrespect to Burrow, who's been great. How often do quarterbacks like that come around?
Every year.
He's not. Connor has said it. He's good, but he's not special. He's not elite. He's not great. So I think Chase Young is all those words, special, elite. I know we hate the generational talent phrase, but like that dude's a generational talent. So if you're the Bengals, and they will probably mess this up, Chase Young should be the pick.
I think I would still roll with Burrow just because of the importance of quarterback. And I love Chase Young. He's been number one on my board since before last draft ended. I love him. I think he's better than Bosa. But the quarterback position is just so important. And for Taylor with the Bengals, I think that he's got to get something in there. Obviously, Andy Dalton's not coming back. I don't think Ryan Finley's your answer. I don't know if he can afford another year without a good quarterback.
You could get Chase Young at 1 and Jake Fromm at 33 or 34 on the flip. I know we play this game all the time. Like, that's really risky. But that's what they do with Andy Dalton. They took him in the second round.
Here's the question, though, that they got to be asking themselves, especially Zach Taylor and whoever the hell makes the draft picks over there anymore,
right,
is how much security do you have left? Because if you do take Chase Young, which I would, and you know you're going to lose a lot of games next year because you're starting Ryan Finley at quarterback or a free agent, your job isn't secure. That's the issue with all this.
Say they go defeated this year, 0-16. It's a very good possibility. And then they go 3-13 next year. Like, he could be out the door. But I think if you go 3-13 and you have a good young rookie quarterback, then you have a little bit more of a leash.
Yeah, man, it is. It's wild to look at that. The environment in Cincinnati, like, okay, what do we try to do here? One last note before we take a break and get our girl Paige on here to talk college football. The NFL's top running backs list came out, and LaDainian Tomlinson didn't make the finalist. Make the team, he wasn't a finalist. How does this happen?
There are a lot of guys on this, I don't know what you call it, this list that I don't know. I've been watching football for 32 years now. I understand that you probably want to represent every generation. The people that are watching some of these running back plays, they're dead. Okay, we don't have to entertain them anymore with putting people from their generation on. Like, the fact that LT is not on this list is absolutely terrible. There are like 10 of them, and you don't mention LaDainian Tomlinson. I think he revolutionized the position, or at least kept it going. He's probably the last feature back that we've really seen. Adrian Peterson, maybe another one that should be on there, and neither one of them get mentioned.
It seems insane to me that you can go through 12 running backs and not name LT. I did a little math last night. His first 8 seasons, he averaged almost 2,000 combined rushing and receiving yards per year for 8 straight seasons.
It's unheard of.
And 18.5 total touchdowns per year. So you're dancing around the 2,020 touchdown mark for 8 straight seasons, and you're not one of the top 12, not greatest, top 12.
Right. And like I said this morning, I think he could be a top 5 all-time back.
Easily.
If you're being honest about what he meant to the game, his production, you know what? He never won a Super Bowl, and I think that's a big part of it.
At the running back, Barry Sanders is on there, which obviously he should be, but he never won a Super Bowl. I don't know what the hell Jim Brown did because I was not even thought of when he was playing. Yeah. But I don't think that's important to the position. He's had one of the best fantasy seasons we've ever seen. His ability to catch the ball and be the best runner in the league, Not many guys have been able to do that. Maybe actually, Marshall Faulk.
I was going to say, this might be bad podcasting that I don't know the answer to this. Did Marshall Faulk make the list?
No.
Okay, yeah, they're dumb.
Right?
They're just dumb.
It's almost like if you were one of the game-changing... I consider LT and Marshall Faulk game-changing because of their ability as pass catchers.
Yeah.
And they weren't even
They changed
on
the game.
Okay. So did they just look at pure rushing? Even if you do that, you still can't make the right argument.
So
I don't
LT
know.
Should be in there.
I don't know. It's very
tricky.
They get
too cute with these things.
I'll have a little fun with this one. If you guys had to take one running back in the NFL right now that will be on this list one day, who would you go with?
It's hard to not go with Christian McCaffrey.
I agree.
Sitting here in a Stanford area.
I was going to go Saquon.
Okay.
But he's been so beat up. I wouldn't say that he's been disappointing so far, but it's hard to put him with guys like Christian McCaffrey. And even Alvin Kamara's had a little bit of a down year. So I'm going with McCaffrey. What he's doing
Play
for that
the
Panthers
home crowd.
Team.
But no,
I'm
but
not,
right.
though. Like, even Madden has come out and said, you know what, this guy's a 99 rating. He's able to catch the ball. He's running with power. I didn't think he was going to be this good in the NFL. And he is.
Yeah. No, he's been amazing. All right, let's take a break. We've got some Cal staffers standing here staring at us. We're going to say hi to the Cal Bears staff and then bring our girl Paige Kuhn on. Welcome to the podcast. We haven't had very many female guests on. We got to change that up. But I think technically our boss in some ways, definitely my boss, Paige, the amazing at, what is your
at? At that sports page.
You got to change that.
No, I don't.
I like it.
That sports page.
I get lots of
like
compliments on how creative that is.
You know, like the sports page.
Those don't work.
It's time to rebrand, Paige.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It's time to rebrand.
No, I've had it since I was in college. I'm going to stick to it.
It's time to rebrand.
Well, everyone go follow.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, man, this is a tough entrance.
That sports page.
She walked into a bus stop.
Yeah, welcome to Stick to Football. Fuck you. Change your Twitter app.
Yeah, we're very welcoming. No, we were just talking with you before I pushed record. And was like, wait, well, let's just push record and have this conversation. You are the person responsible for my rant about the Heisman Trophy on the Friday show, which thank you to everyone who liked that rant. But because the whole thing about like, Christian McCaffrey, the guy saying he didn't even watch McCaffrey play when he didn't vote for him. And we were talking about kind of the hypocrisy of that. But also, you were talking about how Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry won that year instead of McCaffrey. And Alabama fans, for me, they cling to, and Derrick Henry has had some good games in the NFL, especially Chiefs fans know he's had two of them against them. But Alabama fans cling to this, like, no, Derrick Henry's actually good. And it drives me insane. But I know you get it on the college side, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that he's not good. That's fine. But Christian McCaffrey broke a record that stood for 27 years in college football. And the problem is people saw stats and were like, oh, that's cool. They think it's great. But didn't stay up to watch his games. And like an article came out this week saying, you know, someone told him to his face, hey, I didn't stay up to watch your games, which is a much larger issue for the Pac-12 as opposed to just a Christian McCaffrey issue. But essentially that did cost him that because guys weren't staying up to watch. And it was interesting to hear like his teammates now kind of talk about, you know, the myth of Christian McCaffrey and the legend of Christian McCaffrey because they also didn't stay up. They had jobs. They needed to be ready to go on Sunday, so they weren't staying up to watch him play. But they saw the stats and they saw highlights. But now that they're seeing it in the NFL and we're seeing what he was doing at Stanford, and it was fantastic. I mean, it was fun to watch as a Pac-12 fan.
And he should have been, like, the ideal Heisman candidate. With his father playing in the NFL for so long, being a good, recognizable face at Stanford, and then having voters come out and just say, like, yep, I didn't watch you play. I mean, it's total bullshit. Matt, I don't know if you want to do your rant again, but something
if the allergy medicine kicks in and I get some energy, then yes. Do you have a Heisman vote, Paige?
No, I wish.
Either.
I wish.
Yeah, you would think, right?
At least one of the four people standing at this table. Maybe we just
I stay up. Wait, I actually stay up for Pac-12 games, so I think I should get it because I'm awake for those games every week.
I can't stay up. It's too late. I don't watch those guys.
You said Pacific Coast time is the best. It is for the most part, but it is frustrating when you're watching games at 11 p.m. here and no one else is watching and you're excited about what's happening and no one else is excited.
It's like when we were in London and I would be like wanting to tweet. Like,
and no one's there.
Four people are online right now.
Yeah, exactly. No one cares.
And they're all going to be at the tailgate because they're from London.
I have these great takes and I want to tweet them, but no one will read them because everyone's asleep.
Well, Paige, a lot of our listeners always ask us, you know, like a lot of them are in college, some in high school, trying to intern somewhere. They want to work in football, whether it's media, scouting, and obviously you do work in football, specifically in media. Just walk us through, like, what is your college football Saturday like? Because I think a lot of people, they do want to work in media and sports, but they don't know exactly what it's like, and I think you have a very unique job.
Yeah, my job is a lot of preparation, a lot of, like, doing stuff ahead of time, coming up with topics, making sure. So my job essentially is to manage riders. That's the biggest part of my role at Bleacher Report. I have about seven that I work with. Two of them, obviously one of them, Adam Kramer and Matt Hayes, who have both been on this podcast, do our heavy feature writing, and that stuff is takes months in advance to kind of get out and report out. But our weekly stuff, it's essentially coming up with the biggest topics that we think will happen on Saturdays, and kind of being ahead of it, and then just sitting and watching and kind of watch it develop and react in real time.
Sounds miserable.
Yeah, getting paid to watch every single football game on Saturday is just awful, you guys. I can't believe I ended up in this spot. But I got really lucky in terms of how I ended up here. I mean, I grew up in California, and college football is not the biggest sport here. But working at Bleacher Report, I kind of fell in love with it. And if you can work at something and fall in love with it at the same time, that's a huge deal, because sometimes working in sports can kind of be difficult. But I've found that it's been super rewarding, and I'm glad that I fell in love with this crazy, stupid sport that we all obsess over.
Well, as an Arizona State grad, I know
that's so horrible. I hate you so much for saying that.
I honestly thought you just messed up, but no.
Yeah,
you
I did
just
too. Like, I was like, this is not going to end well for him.
As an Arizona grad, like, mm-hmm. did going off to college make you, no disrespect, you guys are a basketball school.
Yes.
So did you fall in love with college football while you were there?
Yeah, I fell in love with just college sports when I was there. One of the biggest things when I went into school, I studied journalism, and I went in and they were like, you need to intern. And when I was in school, our basketball team was ranked number one in the country for multiple weeks during multiple years. So I worked a lot of basketball. I worked every single football game when I was there. And you just learn, like, both sides of media. I did a pregame show when I was there, but also worked in the sports information office to kind of see the other side of that stuff, and took every opportunity I possibly could. I was just so excited to be there that, like, I was like, all right, yes, I'll do whatever. And that was kind of how I just gained lots of experience and kind of fell in love with college sports.
And where did you get your start at Bleacher Report? What was your first gig?
My first gig was doing newsletters, which I think we only have one now. But before, we had like newsletters for like individual teams. So I did a little bit of NBA, a little bit of MLB, some hockey, everything in between you could possibly imagine. And then I ended up on the alerts team, which if you don't have the Bleacher Report app, please download it. It is literally the best app. And the people who work on that app work so hard to make it absolutely amazing and better than anything else. But yeah, and that's kind of where I ended up in college sports. I started doing like MMA stuff and things like that in NASCAR, and then gradually made my way to college sports, which is a very happy spot that I'm in.
That's a much better landing
it
spot.
Is,
than,
it
no
is.
No offense to our NASCAR fans, but a little bit better
I
than
would
watching
like
people
to take
drive
a tailgate
circles.
Tour to a NASCAR race, though.
For a tailgate, though, yeah. Not to watch
the race.
Cars drive in circles.
No, probably not going to make
unless
it
we get a
controversial take.
I'll do anything for money. I'll drive the car if you want me
right,
to.
Right. When did you start at BR, though?
I started in January of 2015.
Wow.
So it'll be 5 years in January that I've been at Bleacher Report. And I've done, this is my third job at Bleacher Report. So three different types of jobs. And yeah, I applied. I saw a listing on Twitter and was like, I don't know if I'm qualified, but we're going to try. And it was in San Francisco, and just luck of the draw, got it.
So do you like being in the San Francisco area?
I grew up in the Bay Area, so I do like being around here. I also like the Pacific Coast hours. When you're working in sports, it's a lot nicer.
Yeah.
I will say I went to SEC Media Days for the first time this year, and I can tell you those people love football as much as I love football. So it's nice to be around people that actually like care about it. Not saying that Pac-12 people don't care about it. They do, kind of, not really.
It's a different energy.
Yeah, it is. It's totally different how they look at it. You know, I think it's like a fun thing.
It's like a hobby. And in the South, it's a religion.
It's like, yeah, exactly. That's a great way of putting it. It really is a religion. And that's kind of like how I view it now. Because like every Saturday I spend just watching every game there is.
So do you consider yourself, obviously you went to Arizona, you're a Wildcats fan, but do you have a team that's good at football that you root for?
Ouch.
Do you just like, you just rolling with Kevin Sumlin?
In Kevin Sumlin. And if if anyone is listening from Arizona, please keep Kevin Sumlin around.
I'm a Texas fan, so you can talk as much shit as you want about being bad at college football.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Obviously, this year, I left it up to the Texas-LSU game to decide my fandom for the year, and LSU obviously won out on that. So I do root for LSU now. I do love some guys. There's a Bay Area guy at Alabama, obviously, Najee Harris, and I'm a big fan of his. But I definitely pull for Coach O and LSU.
Can I just – I'm sorry, I'm asking a lot of questions in a row. we need to like arm wrestle or something, or we need to be like co-presidents of the Joe Burrow fan club. I don't want you to whip my ass at arm wrestling, so let's not do that.
Yeah, I was going to suggest not do that.
Good height table. You've spent time with Joe Burrow, though, and I know you were telling me earlier, just watching him conduct himself, it's kind of why you fell in love with him as a player, maybe as a person as well. You obviously are not an NFL GM, but can you, like, your experience with him, what is that like where, if you are a GM or when we sit down to interview him as a prospect, how's he going to win people over?
You're going to get a guy that buys into whatever you're selling. That's the biggest thing is, like, you need somebody who's going to buy in and be there for the team. Like, there are a lot of guys, like, don't get me wrong, I do love Baker Mayfield, but, like, that guy's about Baker. You know, there are guys that you're going to get that, and Kyler's about Kyler. Like, they're great teammates, I'm sure, but, like, Joe Burrow is going to be the best teammate that you can get in there, and you need that at quarterback. Like, you really do, wherever. Especially in the NFL, because they're being paid to play. They're not being... It's not like in college football where, like, oh, you guys, that's all you're doing is winning. You're not being paid, even though you should be paid. But it's one of those things where, like, you get a guy who's articulate. I mean, he's incredibly intelligent. He pays attention to the things that are going on around him, not just in football. You know, he's an incredible learner. I mean, they implemented a new offense, and he was, like, gung-ho, and it fit perfect for him, and it's great for his draft stock, that's for sure. But he's a guy that you're going to get that's going to, honestly, like, be able to lead a locker room. And I feel like the NFL, it's so much different. Like, you get guys that are like great, they think they're great leaders, and they're more great talkers, as opposed to being like somebody who can rally guys, a bunch of guys who are making millions of dollars to be there, so they don't really need your help. But he's somebody that I think people will buy into as well.
I think so too.
I'll put you on the spot here.
Oh,
predict
God.
The four teams in the playoff and the champion.
Oh boy, that is tough. So Clemson's gonna get in, because they're not gonna lose to anybody. And also, I really made Clemson fans mad this week, because I was like, oh, Clemson's the like kid in the group project that doesn't do anything but gets the A. Because no one's talking about how their schedule sucks, but everyone's so worried about how Bama didn't play anybody. And it's like, okay, well, neither is Clemson. How many ranked teams do they have in the ACC? Cool. Same with the Big 12. I feel bad for the Big 12 about that. But anyway, so I'm going to go Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and then, oh, boy.
That's where it gets tough.
I think it's going to be Georgia.
I see. Okay, but Georgia's going to lose.
They'll have two losses.
I don't think so. That's why.
You think that Georgia's going to upset LSU?
Yeah, I do. And I think it makes it so easy.
I wish I could see two pages face right now. You really believe this?
Yes. Okay, but let me just say to you, did you watch when they played South Carolina?
Yes. It was the flukiest game of the year.
They also got bailed out twice for it to be even tied. So
that, sure, but absolutely. That Auburn team they just beat is really, really good.
On
really
defense?
Good. Yes. I think...
like, I don't know.
Georgia's playing the best football in the country the last month. I think so. They have the best defense in the country, and they can run the ball. And their quarterback doesn't throw interceptions.
Melo and I are just standing back.
Sure.
Over at the table. Like,
sure.
Wait, so who's the fourth team, though?
See,
this is where it gets really hard. If it's not Georgia, then you have like Oregon, Utah.
Here's the thing. Here's
Oklahoma,
here's
Alabama.
What I think is going to happen. The Pac-12. I think that Utah is going to beat Oregon, and Oregon's going to have two losses, and that's. And I don't think that Utah is going to get the respect.
I agree with that.
I think they should.
Which sucks.
No, I absolutely think that they should be a playoff team over Oregon. Absolutely. I would. Yeah, I mean, and then we go into like eye test stuff. I would take a one-loss Oklahoma over any Pac-12 team, unfortunately. And also, I would take them over a two-loss Georgia. I would take them over Alabama. Well,
I would take them over a Mac Jones-led Alabama.
Yeah. If Tua was in the picture, totally Alabama would have been fine. They can lose as many games as they want. They're Alabama. They're going to get the eye test. But I do think that, like, eye test-wise, like, Oklahoma is the team that I would put in. Do I think that the committee respects the Big 12? No. They essentially like helped the Pac-12 out this week by ranking USC, who Utah lost to. So they are
miserably.
That's going to be their quality loss, their good loss, or whatever. And if they beat, so it'll be. It's one of those things where I was shocked because the Pac-12 doesn't get that help ever. So, but it was actually really weird to see the fact that the committee, even with like undefeated Big 12 teams. Like, the fact that they didn't, even Minnesota,
Baylor.
Too. Yeah, Baylor and Minnesota when they were undefeated. Like,
I feel like they were never even, like, given consideration.
No.
I know they had to beat Oklahoma, but I still wonder how high they would have been even after that.
Well, it's so crazy to think that, like, they probably play more ranked teams than Clemson does. And and Clemson's just getting in because they're defending their title, which makes sense.
That's the thing.
But the committee is supposed to only look at this year's work, really. Right. They're not supposed to look at the team.
But we know they don't.
Exactly.
That's why
it's so difficult. And honestly, like, I'm going to say, like, I would love to see, like, two Big Ten teams in. over two SEC teams and a Pac-12 team.
I agree. This is why I want Georgia to win, though, because it makes it so easy. Yeah. It's like, to me, those are the four teams that deserve to be in if Georgia wins. Now, of course, they could lose, and it turns into a shit show, and a lot of people are going to be unhappy.
Well,
this is why the playoff
is,
needs to be eight teams.
It'll give us something to talk about. That's the good news. Or six
teams. But to be fair, I really just don't think that Georgia should be in
the
playoffs.
You also need a winner, though. Who's going to win the national championship?
I mean, I'm so biased. Like, you guys, I can't even help it. I think LSU. I think LSU is going to win. I hope we see LSU Ohio State, because I think that would just be amazing. That would just be such a good game on both sides of the ball.
And Burrow against this whole team.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So especially because we're not going to get Jalen into us. So, like, we might as well buy into that narrative.
So what about a Heisman vote? You can't vote for Joe Burrow if you had to vote for somebody
Chase Young,
else.
Obviously. Thank I mean, you. There's no doubt in my mind. I honestly, he like you said, I do think he is the best player in the country, but I do think the Heisman's like a quarterback award. I mean, there's other guys like Hubbard at Oklahoma State who's having a massive year that should be considered. There are plenty of guys that are playing great football that are not on the best teams in the country, and I think that also plays into it. I think that's partially why, like, Christian McCaffrey ended up not winning, is because Stanford wasn't the best team in the country, and you can't argue that, like, that guy makes that team the best team in the country. So
you need your own college football podcast.
Thank you.
Like, not
if you're listening.
Not to steal from us, but you can just talk about this stuff all day.
I can. I love it. It's so, I mean, it's a little weird sometimes because I just, like, I dream about it, I obsess about it, and, like, some people say that, but, like, it really is my life, and I do love it. It can get, don't get me wrong, it's still a job, and it can be obnoxious at times, but it's such a fun, like, I like watching the NFL, kind of, but, and only because of, like, players that I've, like, watched and covered since they were recruits.
Same way.
I love watching guys that, like, we've seen go through the whole system, but college, there's nothing like College Game Day, the pageantry of it and everything like that. It's amazing.
All right, Paige, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, it was awesome, Paige.
And, representing Bleacher Report here, but also, like, college football. My God, you know the sport better than we do. So thanks for coming by, guys. We'll take a break. We come back. We have some draft-on-draft questions live from our tailgate here at Stanford. All right, we are ending the show like we always do on the tailgate tour. It's draft-on-draft time, and our guy rocking a custom Paulson Adebo jersey. I have a
second time on the show.
Oh, that's right.
That puts some respect on my man's name. This is our Stick to Football Listener of the Year, Ant the Oreo. Welcome back, sir.
Wait, I want to ask you a question. Is that on your Twitter bio?
It is not.
Is it on your LinkedIn?
CCS scouting.
I will
bullshit.
Add it to my LinkedIn right after this.
Yeah, update that resume, bro.
Yeah, but make sure you put 2018, because just a reminder for everyone, the stickies are coming up.
They
soon.
Are rapidly right. fast. Yeah. We should probably let Ant have like a
this
say.
This is like the Heisman. Yeah,
you get
a vote.
You get a for vote. Sure. You're in the listener house.
Who would you vote for? Like right now? Like this is on the
you recommended somebody last year when we interviewed him, but you've had a kind of a year to think about it. No pressure. This isn't a personal vote. Who do you think deserves it?
Who's in the running right now? I mean, I feel like it's kind of hard to pick somebody over Pat Chamberlain. He is the man. He is nonstop with the questions.
He went to Madison.
He did go to Madison.
New York.
Right. Pat's a good
and
one.
And he's our lawyer.
Yeah. I think that's actually who you said last time we talked to you.
Yeah, that's what I said was my favorite listener.
Consistent. Okay, yeah, you can ask us a question now. Sorry.
Okay, so, of course, I've been on the Paulson Adebo train for a couple years now. I would like to know if you have a player comp for him and your favorite fit. Not necessarily where he's going to go, but your favorite fit.
My favorite fit for him is Philly. I think he would be great in Jim Schwartz's defense because of his size, what he's able to do at the line of scrimmage. And then also, like, they love aggressive DBs and what he does. I mean, last year, he led college football in passes defense. Like, his ability to attack the ball, I think, would fit so well there. And I do think, like, when we talk about mock drafts, they need to maybe win a couple games, you know, to be where he would be in range. But I think that fit makes a lot of sense. I don't know if I have a comp. Let me look while these guys answer.
I don't have a comp for him. I want to see how big he actually is. I think he's 6'1", 190 is what they have him listed at.
His arms look long.
He doesn't look that big to me, though. He looks 6'1", 180, which is still a good-sized corner. For fit, the Kansas City Chiefs. Any great defensive player that we can get our hands on, like, let's make it happen.
Shit, I mean, keep him on the West Coast in Seattle.
The Cowboys are going to be an interesting team this year because they're going to need a corner after Byron Jones leaves.
After you guys signed Byron Jones.
Future Colt.
Yeah, right. Everyone. You don't want him. Ant does. It's funny how that works.
We sign 28-year-old corners every year, and it never works.
It never works.
Tremaine Johnson.
I actually, like, this just came to me. I had a dream about Paulson Adebo this week. It's probably because of you. Like, I don't know what happened.
I appreciate that.
You definitely put... He had, like, 3 interceptions today. It's like a Lance Harbor situation here. I had a dream last night that this happened. So he's probably going to go off today. Everybody's listening to it on Monday. Ant made it happen.
Matt, where are you projecting him right now?
I have him in the round 20. Like, not round 20. Around 20th overall. So he can go anywhere 15 to 20, I think. You know, he's in play for that number two corner spot in this class behind Jeff Okuda. I like C.J. Henderson. Yep. I think Adebo is similar in a lot of ways. I like Christian Fulton. I mean, I think we've seen him play banged up this year. He's been trying to play through an injury, and it's affected his, you know, product on the field a little bit. But I think Adebo, you know, we're going to see most years, you know, there's going to be 4 or 5 corners going the first round. I know last year was a weird enigma.
I
think this will be a correction year for corners. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, glad we got to ask you some questions.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for hanging out with
us. Of course. Listener of the year. All right. Who is up next? The lovely Molly.
Aww. That's me. Yeah. Hi. So my question is, as a Michigan fan, why are we playing Shea Patterson as hard as we are? Like, ride or
no
die?
No one knows.
That's a great question.
I think that there was, honestly, probably some kind of promise to Shea Patterson. You transfer here, you're going to be the quarterback for 2 years, and then we'll have McCaffrey come in. A lot of coaches do that via recruiting, and I think maybe Harbaugh's just keeping his word and saying, we told you you could come here and you would start. Now we're going to let you. So I don't know. Other than that, he hasn't played well enough to keep some of these other guys on the bench. But for some reason, he keeps playing.
How do we, everywhere we go, the marching band comes
through.
Every fucking tailgate.
They were in the Madison video. Like, in the show.
I don't understand.
Is this even the real Stanford band they have?
They're, like, dressed up.
There's a lot going on here.
Well, we're just preparing everyone because they're about to be very close.
It's about to be loud.
I don't really understand it either. I really don't. It just doesn't make sense to me. It's kind of been their Achilles heel for 2 years now.
Oh,
yeah.
Which is very frustrating. I'm curious to see where this team goes at the position next year, and I'm also curious to see how this team handles the position if they are not a Jim Harbaugh-led team in the future. That's my question.
Yeah. I think he gets at least another year. If he does, he's not going to beat Ohio State.
He doesn't leave himself.
Yeah. But they have some good quarterbacks waiting. I actually think they'll be in a better situation next year. If it's not McCaffrey, they have another young quarterback. I can't think of his name right now, but he's going to be really good too. He's even got some snaps already. I think it'll be an addition by subtraction when Shea Patterson, I guess he's probably not going to get drafted, but he graduates or leaves.
I know there are people who will argue otherwise. I don't think he gets drafted.
Right. I don't either.
XFL, Shea Patterson.
There we go.
Right? Yeah. You never know.
You know, we talk about punchable faces, and maybe I shouldn't say this about a college kid.
Him and Mason Rudolph, the faces of the XFL.
Also Steelers fans, so we're talking about punchable.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
We also
that's
hate
not
your
fair.
High school
one year. I've been through some bad quarterback Jets teams,
right?
But
yeah.
A year where you have Shea and Mason
I know,
as your quarterback.
As a Chiefs fan, I've had to tough through.
Yeah, that's true.
2 years of Pat
Mahomes. The Matt Moore 2 weeks was brutal.
So there's free beer in the cooler.
Great. I'll drink up.
Anyone needs it today,
it's me. It's me for sure.
No, thank you for your question,
Molly. Thank you.
I'm going to hold the mic far away so he doesn't yell into it.
Sorry.
No, that's you. Go for it. Do it. Do it. Oh, there we go.
What an entrance. And the chug. I'm going to narrate this entire thing.
You can hold it.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought you were going to hold it.
I was kidding.
Well, introduce yourself.
Well, according to Twitter, my name is Wilhelm Von Stupid, but you guys can call me Mr. Von Stupid.
I like that.
So I have a couple questions. Can I only ask one?
I don't know. Let's see.
Make it a two-parter.
Yeah.
My first question is, like, I'm a former offensive line coach, so I'm interested always in, like, offensive line play. And who's this year's most technically proficient in this year's upcoming draft offensive lineman? And then who's this year's Colt Miller? So, like, who's the guy that's the most athletically gifted? Sometimes one turns out to be the best.
Yeah.
Sometimes the other one turns out to be the best.
I think athletically, especially if you want to go with a Colt Miller comp, I think Austin Jackson at USC is going to be that dude. Right. Because, you know, Andrew Thomas isn't a great athlete. I don't think Tristan Wirfs is a great athlete. But I think Jackson just moves so well. And he's a little strength deficient.
Yeah.
But he makes up for it with that quickness and agility. Now, as far as technique, I think it's probably Wirfs. Just because, yeah, I mean, he's just—he's his hand placement is so precise, okay, and he's so consistent. And it is tough because he plays right tackle at Iowa, so we don't see, you know, we don't see him against Chase Young and Gross Matos. We just don't see that those matchups. But I feel like he can play left tackle. And I've talked to people at Iowa. They say the only reason he plays right tackle is because Alec Jackson can't play right tackle. So it's like, oh, Werfs can do either, so we're going to let him do that. But I think his technique's just really, really good.
I've honestly been very impressed with Trey Adams. Coming back from multiple surgeries, that he's going to get docked for medicals. It just happens when you've had
length too.
When you've had that. Yeah, he's gigantic. He can run block. He can really blow you off the ball. But when I went to see Washington USC, I was like, oh, in pass protection, he's very clean. Very clean player, plays with an edge. So I think with Adams, he'd be in the conversation as the best tackle in this class without the injuries, but you just have to have those as part of the evaluation.
Yeah. And I would say Tyler Biadasz in Wisconsin. I mean, that guy's just very technically sound. He's a center, not a tackle, but you said offensive lineman, so I'll go with him. I think that they just do a great job at Wisconsin of coaching those guys up and being so technically sound that you're not going to start for a couple years at Wisconsin without having that.
One thing I always found fascinating is when you have these really large tackles, everyone always assumes that they'll only be good at pass blocking, and you have guys like Orlando Brown and Trent Brown that are actually pretty solid run blockers as well. So the other question I had was just like, as a UNR alumnus, big Nevada fan, go Pack, who are the best like Mountain West prospects this year besides obviously Jordan Love?
Curtis Weaver.
Yeah, that Curtis Weaver's a huge one.
Yeah, a lot of people like him. We've heard buzz about him since the summer.
Yeah, other than that, I mean, I'd have to really dig into my list, my big board of who's out there. The Utah State linebacker is going to be another one. I think that he might even be a junior, though, so he might not come out. But those are kind of the two guys that out of the Mountain West that people know and that people are going to talk about.
Like you said, once you take Jordan Love out of that equation, it changes things a little bit. But I think Weaver has a chance to be a second-round pick. If Woodward comes out, I don't know. I mean, he would probably be a day three guy.
Yeah, I mean, the guy here at Cal is very similar, and he's been more productive.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to kind of be going against each other, and one of them's going to be in the Senior Bowl. Other than that, I think we see Jordan Love probably do the grad transfer. With the year that he's having, I just don't know if he can come out. I mean, he might get some first-round love.
And I think he's a mid-first-round pick.
If he does, then obviously he's got to come out. But he's thrown so many interceptions. And with the success that he had with his former coach, you have to wonder, was a lot of it system, or was it this talent that he has?
I think he's like Josh Allen. I think he's like Josh Allen in spread offense.
A lot of traits.
Because of the size, speed, arm, I think he might. That's obviously my opinion. My last question is like, a lot of you guys, I'm a big Niner fan. You guys, earlier in the year, were excited low on the Niners. Miller, a huge Niner fan. How do you guys feel about your Niner picks early in the year? And then also,
terrible. We feel terrible about them.
I don't give a shit. I made my prediction. That's what I thought was going to happen.
We were wrong.
I have a crystal ball.
I think I had him at 8-8. You know, like, just couldn't have predicted that the offense would take the step that it has. And with like McGlinchey and Joe being hurt, and they're still producing, running backs hurt, still producing. I'll say this as a Niners fan, they haven't played anyone, and I think we're going to see the second half.
The Rams. And I think the Rams.
I don't think the Rams are anyone.
Bears,
I think the Rams are really, really bad. So
I don't think so. I think the same as the Cowboys.
Man, you have a lot of discerning or dissenting takes. I like it. I think the Rams fucking suck this year. So they can't run the ball. They can't pass protect. Jared Goff looks like he's throwing left-handed instead of right-handed. Like, I think the Rams are dog shit. And like the Niners, like, can the Niners beat the Ravens? Can they beat the Packers? Like,
we'll find out.
So I think the Niners, like, you got to be a little bit careful right now. Like, they're a little cocky, and this is like Pedro saying with Bama. Like, all right, like, who the fuck have you played? Like, I get it. Like, it's awesome that we're good again because it's been a long time. But I can tell you as a Texas fan, it's like, as soon as you get cocky, Lamar Jackson runs for 300 yards on your ass.
Or you start struggling against Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals.
If what Kyler did scales to what Lamar Jackson does, the Niners are going to lose by 20 points.
But if you look at what they did to Russell Wilson, they completely controlled the
Russ game. Doesn't run like that, though. Like, Lamar Jackson's running a 4-2. Russ is like, I mean, he's not a designed runner. You know, I mean, he moves in the pocket some, but.
That's true.
All right, let's take a break. We got a long line forming. Take a break, come back, and we'll finish draft on draft. All right, we are back. Our last segment here at Stanford before we hop into the game to watch the Cal Bears and the Stanford Cardinal. Another question, another Niners fan.
Yes, yes.
We'll see if this one's realistic or not.
Well, with the 4 touchdowns last week coming from undrafted free agents, it might be too early for this, but what's an undrafted free agent that you could see fitting Kyle Shanahan's scheme?
Yeah, it's tough right now to say, like, okay, this guy will fall in the draft. I think one thing that we see with Kyle's scheme is, like, he loves speed. You know, whether it's Marquise Goodwin or, you know, what we've seen with the running back, Matt Breida. You know, Matt Breida is one of the fastest running backs in the NFL. So I think you can look at guys like Tavian Feaster, who's one of the fastest running backs in college football. Not that the need is huge at running back for the Niners, but, like, when I watch him play, like, that's one of the dudes I'm like, oh, okay, well, he could fit in this scheme really well as a return man, you know, as a third down back a little bit. So I think that's one of the keys for the Niners is we've seen how Kyle has turned over the skill positions. And, like, even like Tevin Coleman, you know, had a great week last week. You know, he's fast when healthy. So I think speed is super important.
All right.
The other two, like, they're not Niners fans. They're like, all right.
Nah. Nailed it.
So this dude not only has a mustache, he has a Charles Woodson Michigan jersey, which I love.
You say mustache, but I don't think that does
this
justice.
Is like Tom Selleck.
This is the best mustache I've ever seen.
If it's any consolation, I trimmed up a little bit before we came by.
So. Classy for the Citrus Bowl West Coast tailgate. Right.
So, big-time Raider
Harry's
fan
Mello
here.
Harry's.
My question for you guys is, what do you think the ideal linebacker-wide receiver combo for the Raiders' first two first-round draft picks are?
I think about this shit all the time, and I don't know why, but I, like, lay in bed thinking about...
Because we do it every Monday?
Yeah. I mean, realistically here, like, so, like, you're not getting Jerry Jeudy and Isaiah Simmons, I'm sorry. But I feel like Henry Ruggs and that offense would be so much fun. And then Kenneth Murray. Like, Kenneth Murray has been amazing for Oklahoma this year. Now, I do think CeeDee Lamb would fit you guys really, really well. But if we're being realistic, I think there's a good chance he's off the board already. Yeah. So I look at it as, like, okay, if you can get Ruggs and Murray, like, what is it, 12 and 14 right now?
That's 14, right, and, 14 and 19 is where we're sitting currently, okay, well,
you,
I believe.
You might be looking at Moses at 19.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I look at Devonta Smith, too. Stick with Alabama. Yeah. He's going to go 4.39, 4.38. He has the speed, and I think he does a little more underneath where I'd really like to see him in Oakland. Linebacker's weird because this class right now, it's not loaded with first-round talent.
Yeah, a lot if you can't get Isaiah Smith early, then, like, where are you at on
Yeah,
the, on the
exactly.
Back.
But, I mean, we've put Simmons to them over and over again because he can cover in the slot. He can play linebacker. He can rush the passer. He really does that Derwin James, Jamal Adams role, only at 230 pounds.
But, yeah,
insane.
He's just going to go so early.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think he'll be there at 12. I really
we're
think gonna
cross
he's
our fingers
go top
the
10.
Bears lose out then.
Right, yeah, because you guys are playing really well right now. Yeah. So that's the other side of it, you know. And I think, you know, like, they've drafted really well. Mike's done a good job, and we're not even seeing Jonathan Abram yet, you know. So, like, what you guys got in that 2019 draft class, I mean, it has a chance to be historic. Getting, I mean, every player drafted is contributing. You know, it's
one player's not on the roster anymore, but other than
the
Bell,
safety they
Quentin
took in the
Bell,
seventh round. Yeah,
the Quentin Bell out of Prairie State or whatever.
Right.
And when Mayock stumped the what do they call it? He stumped the draft.
He probably was just doing that to be an asshole too.
Was,
like, I'll find a guy that you don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not up there anymore, so watch this.
That's definitely what he's doing.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you,
man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fellas, how we doing?
Good.
Good. I got two questions, if that works.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think he had eight behind me, the Colt, the Nevada guy, so I'll save some time here. First one, Isaiah Simmons. What's the comp on him? He's a tweener. They move him around a lot. What's your comp?
So mine is Tremaine Edmonds, but I think he's better than Tremaine Edmonds. He's a little more physical. You know, Tremaine was 19 when he left Virginia Tech, so he hadn't really grown into his body completely. But we've talked a lot about this off air, Mello and I, especially. Like, there's not a comp for a guy like that, because even like Connor said, like, oh, he does some Derwin James stuff. Like, he's 230 pounds,
he's probably gonna
be 240. You know, like, he's gonna fill out, he's gonna bulk up. So there's just not a comp for a guy like that.
Yeah.
So
he's taller than Shaq Thompson, so. You can't, like, and he's obviously better, but when you look at Shaq, like, he's 6'1", 230. It's so hard. Miles Jack, it's so hard to find a comp for him.
I have him comped to Derek Johnson coming out of Texas, because they're both so athletic. They could run all over the place. But Simmons is so much better in coverage.
And bigger.
Even that, I don't think, is an accurate comp. I don't know that we can really, like, when we do draft 400 stuff, they're going to make us put a comp. I don't think we've ever seen a linebacker like him before, though. And that's why so many people even say, like, he's a safety. What are you talking about? He's a linebacker. Like, this guy can play everywhere. He can be drafted at linebacker or safety.
It's like if Cam Chancellor.
I was just thinking of Cam.
But
same body type.
He's still bigger. Like, that's right.
But he can also rush the quarterback, too, from, like, off the edge if you wanted to. He's very special.
Raiders just need that in the worst way with Kelce and Henry. You know, we can never cover those tight ends for the last 5 years.
And he would be the ideal fit for that.
Exactly. Second question, what's your worst sporting event you've attended? So we went to Raiders Niners last year Thursday night, Santa Clara, which is not San Francisco still, but and it was just a beatdown. And my wife's a Niner fan, and it was just the worst. And we were so pissed off. It was a prime time. I mean, they're both like 1-10, so it doesn't really matter. But what's like the worst you guys have gone to?
Game 7 when the Giants beat the Royals in the World Series.
Sorry about that.
But even that game, it was like, you know what? We just watched the Royals play Game 7 of the World Series at home.
It's very optimistic.
So it was kind of cool.
It was bittersweet.
And then you had this just feel of this team can do it again. So I actually really liked that one. Alabama, LSU.
Maybe. You know, I haven't been to many blowout type games. I was at the Niners Ravens Super Bowl, and as a Niners fan, that was just so heartbreaking. That was the first Super Bowl I ever covered. It would have been so cool if, like, my team won the first Super Bowl I covered. When the lights went out, I was terrified. I wanted someone to find Ray Lewis because I don't want to be around him.
Fade to Crabtree.
You know how he gets at Super Bowl time.
Right. And then, yeah, Michael Crabtree just rips my heart out again, but for a different reason this time. Yeah.
Man, I've been to some bad ones. Mets World Series. Mets World Series against the Royals when they just blew every game.
Let's talk more about that.
I was
that
like
game.
10 feet away when Porzingis' knee exploded at Madison Square Garden, and I'm a Knicks fan. Yeah, I always find some of the worst ones. The only like live games I go to that a team I like that does well is the Rangers. And they lose to Ottawa like every week, so it's hard.
We're actually good luck for the home team.
We have
I don't know.
And LSU. We're 3-0 in LSU games.
Yep.
Texas is the only home team that's lost on the tailgate
tour
this
Alabama,
year.
But that was
Alabama. Yeah.
Because LSU has jinxed both of them. Like,
it's like LSU is like the clear. Yeah. Like they overrule the jinx. All right. That is our
show. Guys.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you to everybody for coming out. Thanks to Tailgate guys for this sweet, sweet setup. Not to like keep plugging them, but they really do take great care of us.
That's awesome.
We will be back. Connor and I will be back Wednesday. And then next week you get a best of show on Friday. Four awesome interviews from the last year. So if you're going to be headed out for the holidays, you got something to listen to and you're driving back from wherever you end up for Thanksgiving. For Mello and Connor and Paige, who was a great guest today, this is Matt. We'll talk to you guys real soon.